Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We rejoice in your presence. You are good, you are good, you are good, only good and always good. Holy, holy, holy are you, and worthy of all praise. Oh, worthy, worthy, worthy are you. Oh, the only one who is worthy. We lift up holy hands before you without wrath, without doubting. We ask that you would just show up and show out. God, you're here. But we desire the manifest presence of God, that you would get done what you want done. And Lord, you're moving upon your people. You're moving within them. God, whether I say anything or not, we give you the freedom to move. We give you the opportunity to move. We give you the time to move. Oh, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. We delight ourselves in you. Oh, God, you fill us up with your desires. We bind ourselves together with you. We wait upon you. We serve you in spirit. And I thank you that, Lord, great things happen in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. And we rejoice in your joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You're building. You're building. You're building. You're building in us. And you're building us together. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. For God so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting, eternal life. Oh, you're so good, so good, so good. He that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? You've given us all things to richly enjoy. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, you came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Oh, the life of the Lamb dwells in us. The life of the Lamb dwells in us. We are alive with life. We crackle with the life and the power of God. We are not mere human beings. We are born again, spirit-filled, children of the Most High God, disciples of the Lord. We follow your leading, Holy Spirit. We hear you and we respond. And we respond quickly. We respond fully. We obey. We obey. We obey fully. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shepahan iki telo uruma para nasabekenske de enrabide igemoto lo plahan ilo ma asigi de ambro ustoto chondo ne ke sebro onatiti ne hina kuku ke seto ondarene igamana and sipono okokite yesto tos ne hendara ankenite on shebahan rikan sedite. Just as the man on the pallet was carried by his friends unto the house where the Lord was. Shamokondo shibrehen it wosongoni ite. On rahanika sote, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But they sat by, and they sat by and watched and listened. They sat by and judged wrongly. Non da ripasso kinkinisando ureme pisto. But as that man, nakishongore onesite, was brought by his friends, tokin sine ikete, and lowered down from the roof, nahaki kongro onesite, nehishongore igamana esta ungar ite sando uranite, he vos nihishkita, he bohishkidi inle, he bohishkidi hinle, o rani so kinkedite. Oh, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness came. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness came. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness came. And as the forgiveness came, also the healing. And he was given strength. And so, as you have come this night, strength has been imparted unto your legs spiritually. Oh, you have been given strength spiritually. You have been given strength to do. You have been given strength to rise up, to carry that upon which you brought in. Oh, no longer weak, but strong. No longer impotent, but made strong. Now, going forth, nikara and sinakokote, and eshongo babare nikositini, not just going out and doing your thing, but being on my, what is that, Lord? What is that? Being at your command. Being at your command. Being obedient unto the command of the Lord. Isholo konsti en radina ikiti. Just as a soldier would go forth and he acts at the command of those in authority over him, you are acting at the command of your God. And when the command of your God has come, you act and you are empowered to fulfill that command. Now rise up, go forth, go forth, rise up, go forth, rise up, go forth, rise up, go forth, and do what I've called you to do. For you have a knowing, you have a knowing. I've been dealing with you. I dealt with Paul before he was known as Paul. That's why I said to him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I was dealing with him before he met me on that road. I've been dealing with you. I've put things into you. Just as you have said, we draw nigh unto the Lord. You've drawn nigh unto me. And as you've done that, and you have waited upon me, and you have delighted in me, I have put my will into you. It's in there. It's in there. You have a knowing, you have a knowing, you have a knowing, you have a knowing of what to do. Rise up and do it. Rise up and do it. Well, let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. We'll just begin in verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea. You know, the different translations put it differently. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are of Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, or in other words, those who have not seen me face to face, those who have never. And the reason that he talks about this is, he says, I have this great struggle within me, because I want their hearts to be comforted, being knit together in love, and all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught. Now that's verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted, or you've been firmly planted and you've been built up in Him or built upon Him, and you've been made firm or established in the faith. as you've been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. So when we look at this, you know, and I've gone beyond this last week, I believe it was. He says, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he goes into verse 8, beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. So, verse 7, in order, precedes verse 8. Would you agree? 7 comes first. So, verse 7 comes before verse 8, and he tells us here that we're rooted, we're built up in Him, we're established in the faith. And he tells us in verse 8, beware lest any man should spoil you or carry you off as spoil, lead you off as prey, rob and plunder you. Well, he says someone could do that, but he mentions there you need to be rooted, you need to be built up in Him, you need to be established in the faith as you have been taught. Now, when he says that, it is vital to understand if you have not had good, solid biblical teaching, it's easy to be led astray. Good, solid biblical teaching will keep you good, solid, and biblical. But if we are, you know, not at that point where we have received teaching, where we have gotten a hold of it. Now, when we get a hold of it, it becomes more than just secondhand knowledge. It becomes something that we use on a daily basis. It becomes something that we live out in everyday life. If we don't live it out in everyday life, and it is mere words that someone spoke, it is nothing more than a theory to you. If it's nothing more than a theory, there's no power in it. I've been at that point. I've had some understanding of things, but I wasn't walking them out. And if it's mere theory, then there's no power in it. Now, I want you to turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. And I know we've talked about this before, but let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5. And he says here at the tail end of the chapter, verse 12, and we'll read verses 12, 13, and 14. He says here in verse 12, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as such, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. He's saying you've been born again long enough where you ought to be teaching others things. Now, if you've not received teaching, can't teach others. If you've not gotten a hold of it, but he's saying you've been around long enough and you've been in church long enough, you ought to be able to teach others. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the basics. He talks about the first principles of the oracles of God. You become such as have need of milk and not of meat, not of strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. It really means he is inexperienced in the word of righteousness. Now, don't think that it's just talking about the subject or the doctrine of righteousness alone. It's really talking about the righteous word of God. That's what it's talking about. So everyone that uses milk is inexperienced. And there's nothing wrong with partaking of milk. I am constantly reading the same things over and over again. I'm constantly reading the Gospels. I'm constantly reading the epistles. I'm constantly reading things that may be ABCs. It doesn't mean that I get to the point where I leave all of that behind. He's saying that's the only thing you've got. So he says, everyone that is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, he's a baby. So he's talking here about those who have no practical application of the word of God. That's what he's talking about. There's no practical application of the Word of God. And he says they're babies. He says they're unskilled, they're unskillful, or they're inexperienced. They've never experienced or taken the Word of God and used it, is what it amounts to. They've never taken the Word of God and used it. They may have it here, but they're not applying it in everyday life. Now, why is that a big deal? Because God tells us to grow up, but we want to be more usable to Him than I have been in the past. And the more I am walking this out, the more usable I am to Him. The more function that I have of using the Word of God, the more He can use me. So I need to, and it's not all about me getting. A lot of applying the Word of God is dealing with things even for others. Learning how to stand in the gap. Learning how to pray and see things get done. You know, Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, God deals with Isaiah, and he sees this incredible scene. He says, "Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, I live amongst the people of unclean lips." An angel takes tongs and brings this coal from off the altar of God and touches his lips with it, says, "Now you're cleansed," basically. Then God says, "I'm looking for someone to send." And Isaiah is saying, "Here I am, send me." So we want to be those that God can send. But He needs people who know the Word, not just know it, who are using the Word of God, who are walking this out daily. So then we go in, and let's read that verse again, verse 13. "For everyone that uses milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness," he's a babe, "but strong meat belongs to those who who are of full age," or they're mature, they're grown up. "Even those who by reason of use," that means that they practice this, they do this. "Strong meat belongs to those." So the, you know, sometimes people will say, "I don't understand how you have this revelation." You know, that's not just a question for pastors. That was a great question about Jesus. How did he get this understanding? We got it directly from the Word and the Spirit. That's how we get it. And here, you know, how do you get this? Well, the more you apply the Word of God, the more revelation he's going to give you. That is a biblical principle. I can show it to you straight out of the Word of God. When you have something and you use it, the natural example of this is someone who lifts weights. And, you know, they lift weights, and they may only be able to bench press, you know, 30 pounds when they first start. And then they get to where they can bench press, you know, twice that. They can bench press 60. And then they get to where, you know, they're working out and they're stronger. But what happens if they quit working out? They lose it. That's exactly what happens if we don't apply the Word of God. We need to apply it, and the more you apply it, the more revelation you get, the more you're usable, the more God can, you know, put you into places that we desire to be in so that He can use us. But it comes down to, are we receiving the Word of God? Are we receiving it rightly? And then, are we applying it? Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, they practice this, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. People that don't practice the Word of God, that don't apply it, their perception of good and evil is not always right. You wonder why so many people in the body of Christ do not understand that abortion is wrong. To me, it's incredibly clear. There's wrong and right. There's light and darkness. There's good and bad. But when we don't apply the Word of God, we can't even properly discern good and evil. This seems so basic, but the more we apply the Word of God, the more revelation we get. And the more God can use us. Now, Let's go back to Colossians there, Colossians chapter 2. In verse 7, it says, built up, or rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. So we need to listen to good, solid biblical teaching and be in the Word of God. Jesus himself said, when I depart the scene, now this is a paraphrase, of course, when I depart the scene, there's going to be one exactly like me who's going to come. It's going to be identical in character. He uses the word another, and in the Greek, the word another means one and identical in character to the first. He says, I'm going to send you another who's going to be exactly like me. He called him the Parakletos. It translates as comforter in the King James Bible. It's comforter, helper, advocate, intercessor, standby, many different words. He said, when he comes, he is going to do certain things for you, one of which is he is going to teach you all things. So, when he talks here, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, one of the greatest ways for you to be taught is to get into the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach you. Now, being in church is absolutely vital. It's absolutely vital. Need to be in church. Need to be where God can bring you teaching and preaching from the pulpit. But your private time, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Being rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you. And then, what's the next thing? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, we need to get a hold of the Word of God. We need to apply the Word of God. And we need to rejoice over the Word of God. We need to rejoice about the Word of God. We need to rejoice in the midst of seeing the Word of God come to pass. We need to rejoice. We need to give thanks unto God. We need to praise Him. We need to praise Him. And as we do this, it's not so much the specific sound as it is the heart condition. We can talk about praise and worship, and you're going to hear all kinds of different theories, and you're going to hear certain people that are going to tell you can't praise God with modern music. I mean, you're going to hear it. I mean, there are some people that say you can't praise God unless you've got a hymnal in your hands. And there are people that don't like an overhead. I'm being 100% serious. And people will leave a church over hymnals. We're not using the hymnals anymore. And then we can get to the point where people talk about worship and they will condemn praise and worship modern music. You can't worship God that way. I beg to differ. You can. And then there are going to be people that are going to tell you, needs to be an organ and a piano, or an organ or a piano. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, no. No, no, no. Not drums, and definitely not cymbals. And you're going to have people that will argue with you about these things. This is not about worship. Worship, praise, thanksgiving is about your heart. It's not so much about the type of music as anything else. You know, well, we can't do it with this, we can't do it with that. You know, Psalm 150, it's the last chapter of Psalms. It talks about the different instruments. You can worship God with a guitar. You can worship God without music. But I'll tell you, having music, sometimes it's easier. And you're going to have people that will argue you can't have music either. I mean, there's whole denominations that you can't have an instrument. You can have one in your house, I suppose, but you can't have one in the church. Just not going to be that way. Now, worship or praise, giving of thanks unto God, it is more about your heart than anything else. It's not about the sound waves that come forth. It isn't. I can worship God on the inside, and it is absolute worship because it is my heart. It is the extension of my heart. Now, I'm going to encourage you to open your mouth and to praise God with your words. It helps you bring your flesh under. Because there's going to be times, and I learned this a long time ago, because I grew up in a denomination, and that denomination, the churches that I was a part of, you knew who the amen people were. Because they were the only ones who said amen, and they would say amen, and everybody would turn and look. You definitely did not raise your hands in church. And I remember going to church when they raised their hands. And I just wouldn't do it for a long time. And, you know, we would talk about the lyrics and, you know, there are places in the book of Psalms where it talks about soul. You will praise the Lord. You tell your soul, you'll praise the Lord. That is the you telling your mind, you're going to praise the Lord. And I found out that one of the things that I didn't like to do, raising up my hands, was one way that I kept my flesh under. I told it what to do. It didn't tell me what to do. Because often it was, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like saying these words. I don't feel like lifting up my hands. But my heart, my spirit did. And being spirit dominant meant I'm going to do this and my feelings have nothing to do with it. If my feelings come along, great. But it doesn't matter. We would sing songs, we lift up holy hands, you know, we lift up our hands. Well, I don't feel like doing that. I don't care. I do it because I'm spirit dominant. And it's a way that I keep my flesh under. And so worship is not so much about a certain sound. It's not so much about a certain style. You know, I tease Miss B about things, about bluegrass, because I know she likes bluegrass. I can worship to bluegrass. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I can worship, we've joked about it, but I can worship, and she sent us a video, someone playing spoons. I can. It doesn't matter because it's the extension of my heart. And that's what this is about. You know, as you've been taught and then abounding, this should be a lifestyle of worship and praise. It should be something that you do just because you're alive. It's a part of who you are. This is a part of who you are, and you worship God. Now, there's a scripture in the book of Lamentations, and we don't go there often, and I don't preach out of Lamentations a whole lot. But in that section of scripture, it says, lifting up our heart with our hands. In other words, when I lift up my hands, it is an extension of my inner man. And that is an absolutely powerful thing. You get to where it's, again, not about the sound as much as it is the heart. I have sat in a lot of churches in my life. I got born again in an Assembly of God church in Jerseyville, Illinois. And there were people in that church, and I remember later on especially, I think I had gone to Rhema, and no, I don't think I had gone to Rhema at this time. I think I was still younger, but I had been going to another church, and then I went back, and Mom knew everybody there, and everybody knew her. I remember setting in this row, and the lady in front of us, she loved to worship God, but she would turn around and tell you, now, I'm going to tell you this, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I love God. And if you try and sing with her, you're going to be way off. But if you try and worship with her, you are going to be dead on. It wasn't the tone. It was the heart. And you could see that. It was evident. And that's the way that our lives need to be, is a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of praise, a lifestyle of thanksgiving to my God, because He is so good. He is so rich. There is such a depth of Him that we have not even remotely plumbed. I mean, the depths of who He is, we will be discovering the depths of God for eternity. He is so rich and He's so good. So worship is not so much about the sound waves. And, you know, again, giving voice is important. But whether you can carry a tune or not, we're not going to put you on the worship team if you can't carry a tune. But, you know, it doesn't matter when you're sitting out here worshiping God. It is one of the most beautiful things. And when God finds someone who worships Him, who praises Him, oh, He delights in that. You want to please the heart of God, worship Him, praise Him, give Him thanks. And again, it's not so much about the talent as it is about the heart. It's not about a specific pattern or some certain method that we worship God. And therein is where we get into all these problems. You can't do it with this, you can't do it with that. We joke about not being able to have worship with just drums. I'll be honest, we can have worship with nothing but drums. We can have worship with no instruments. We can have worship with no even tracks. We can sing a cappella. We don't have to have music. But worship is more than singing. Praise is more than singing. And thanksgiving, it is, again, the condition of the inner man. And so, you know, again, it's not about the specific sound or pattern or a certain method. Praise and worship are only powerful and mighty and affecting when they are the spirit of man connecting the tongue with the spirit, or connecting the uplifted hands with the spirit. It is the extension of the inner man in thanks and praise and worship to God. And again, talent is out of the picture. Now, again, the worship team, we want people that can sing. We want people that can play. We want that. But let's be honest. We can have people that, you know, are... Jennifer and I have been to the music shop over here, and we bought this keyboard from over there. And we were over there one day, and the guy in there was... We were looking at this piano, and they're a Yamaha dealer, right? And this guy sat down, and he was amazing on the piano. I mean, concert pianist level. He was incredible. But let's be honest. I don't want to just bring in someone who has talent. I want someone who has the heart condition of, God, I give you all that I am, and I will worship you with everything that I have. And if we make a mistake on a key, or we make a mistake on, you know, it with a trumpet, you know, on pressing down and having this valve wrong, or we make a mistake on hitting the wrong beat, who cares? Because we give ourselves to God, what He sees and what He hears is incredibly beautiful to Him. And when we have a body, the church that comes together in harmony, there's nothing more beautiful than that to God. He says in Psalm 133, He talks about when brethren dwell together in unity. And He says that it is a powerful thing, and it is the place of His commanded blessing. And when we come together and worship Him, man, He has the potential, because we're on the same page, to move mightily. So, I know I spent a lot of time on that. And we didn't even get into where we were at the last time. As you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he talked about don't let anybody lead you. And again, your worship and your praise should be connected to what you learn of God. The more you learn of Him, the more you learn about Him, the more you discover, the more revelation you have, the more ammunition you have for worship and praise and thanks. They're kind of intertwined. So, again, I know we didn't go very far tonight, but that's okay. I'm just going to, you know, this is Wednesday night's a teaching time largely. And some of what you get in the teaching time is you get a lot of Holy Ghost flow and you learn how to operate with Him. Now, we have that on Sunday morning in School of the Spirit. But there's this teaching time is a lot like that too. And I wasn't really, as far as what we were going to get tonight, I wasn't sure what God was wanting. I mean, I've got Colossians 2, you know, I've got notes on it. But I think that God just wanted to touch on what He touched on tonight. And He's going to take you further than you've ever been. He's going to take you deeper in His presence and in the things of God than ever before. You're going to go higher in His presence as well. And as you do, you will see things from a new perspective. And when you go to these heights with Him, seeing things from the new perspective will help you then to apply what He is saying to you, to apply the Word of God. And it will, again, then tying that right back in, it will give you more ammunition for worship. When you have great clarity about the things of God and you begin to apply those things, you're going to have a lot of things to worship God for, a lot of things to praise Him for. Father, we just come before You and we just thank You so very much for Your goodness. You are. The word awesome applies to You. We are awed. We are amazed by You. Oh God. Thank You for Your compassion. Jesus, we see it over and over again while You walked on the earth. You were moved with compassion. You healed. You taught. You fed. Literally fed the thousands. We're so grateful. And You fed Your people tonight. You are the Good Shepherd. This is Your church, Jesus, and we're so grateful. We're not the only one, but we are part of the overall body of Christ, and we're so grateful. We love You so much, Lord Jesus. What You did is beyond our mind's ability to fully understand. The suffering, the anguish that You went through, the pain, not just the physical, not even just the emotional, but knowing that You were going to become one with our sin, that the Father was going to look away and for the first time ever, there was going to be a separation. Psalm 22, and then we also see it in the New Testament. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? But we thank You that You did it. That You fulfilled it. You didn't stop partway. You took the keys of death and hell. You raised from the dead. After having been delivered for our offenses, You raised again for our justification. And Jesus, we thank You. And now here we are before the very throne of God. In awe of You, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. As we go from this place tonight, we don't go from Your presence. We take You with us, and holy God. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of the people. Give them more revelation. I give them words, and there's revelation in that. But Holy Spirit, if you don't teach them, they don't get it. And I ask for the tremendous revelation that only you can give, that you would give to them. Holy Spirit, help them to apply, help them to use the Word, and expand them on the inside to contain more of you, to contain more of the will of God, to contain more of the Word of God, and fill them up over and over and over again. Use us mightily as your children. And as we go tonight, the destinations you have for us, I pray that you would set within our hearts. You said we set the boundaries for our life in our heart. So I pray for a divine deposit in our heart of those destinations that you have for us, so that we can set the right goals, so that we can set the right destinations. And help us to get there. Encourage us, lead us, speak to us, guide us. And I declare what you have said, no evil shall befall us. Because we've made you the Most High God, our habitation. We dwell in you and you dwell in us. Therefore, no evil shall befall us, neither any plague come nigh our dwelling. We dwell in these bodies. And we have a home here on earth. No evil shall befall us, neither any plague come nigh our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us. They keep us in all our ways, bear us up in their hands, lest we even dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and dragon we trample underfoot. Nothing, no power of the enemy shall by any means harm or hurt us. We go forth and we exercise the authority as we are under your authority, Almighty God. You give us the words to say. You give us the destinations to be at. We set it within our heart. We set the boundaries for our life that you have given to us. And we say, so be it unto the will of God. We'll be there. We'll be there on time. We'll be there. We'll be there with the Word of God and the ministry to be done in us. And we'll minister as you want. We'll be there at the right time, at the right place, where there's blessing for us. It's not all about us giving out. Sometimes it's about us being at the right place and receiving. And we will be open to you, not to the things of the enemy. We will have a quick knowing. No, that's not from God, because we know you. And we'll have an understanding because we know good and evil. We have that spiritual discernment, and we are aware. We'll be at the right place at the right time, receiving the right things and giving the right things. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.